Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on, can you say, loss of purchasing power, boys and girls, right after this. I never fail to be amazed by the comments that students make when they walk in the door and they're talking about stocks and bonds. I'm not here to give people advice on investing in stocks and bonds or investing in gold and silver or anything else. But when I listen to somebody and he tells me about these great profits that they're making, I can't help but ask questions. And as I ask questions, I find that these people not only are not making profits, they believe they are, but they're not. And they have to have good paying jobs in order to throw money away at the rate they're throwing it away. So I thought I'd make an observation or a comment on it. And it has to do with this thing of purchasing power. Purchasing power. You see, let's think about it in a very simplistic way. Let's suppose that you're making $10,000 a year. Just plug that number in, $10,000 a year. And let's suppose that the inflation rate is 5% a year. So you work and you make your $10,000 and then you take $1,000 out of that $10,000 and you save it. And you work the second year. And the purchasing power goes down by 5% because inflation is 5%. Now, your purchasing power is what can you buy with that $10,000 or that $1,000 that you're saving today? And then how much will you be able to buy with that same $10,000 or $1,000 one year from now? And that's called purchasing power. Now, 5% of this $1,000 is going to be $50. So if you put the $1,000 in the bank at 5% interest, at the end of the year, you're going to have $1,050. So you're saying to yourself, gosh, I should save this $1,000 and put it in the bank at 5% interest. And at the end of the year, I'll have $1,050, and then I can go out and buy $50 more than I could this year. I will be rewarded by being able to buy 5% more. Now, that's conventional wisdom, and all things being equal, that's true, accurate, and correct. But right now, the inflation rate is 9%. Now, your government tells you, no, it's zero or something down around that neighborhood. And so, they're not lying to you. I mean, they're not lying to you. The government comes out and they say, okay, the value of houses is going down. The value of your earning capacity is going down. And so they plug that into the equation. At the same time that the price of food is going up and the price of gasoline is going up and the price of cars is going up. And so they balance it out and they say, okay, inflation's down around zero. Now, if you don't have a car, you're not buying gasoline, you don't eat, that's true, accurate, and correct. And if you've got a house and the value of your house is going down, well, that plugs right into the equation. And I don't deny it. But some years back, a guy came to me and he said, you know what would happen if you would have taken $10,000 in 1960 and invested that in stocks, blue chip stocks? the stocks that you buy on the stock market, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average? I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, the average is 5% between 1960 and 2000 through ups and downs over the long haul. This is the way they tell you to buy stocks and invest in your 401k for the long haul. So, okay, 5%. So I got to looking up and I found out that the inflation rate was 4.7%. So your net then was 0.3. That's 0.3% per year. Now, if you were to extrapolate that out, I'm going to let you do this so that you get it in your head. Take $10,000 and then take your little calculator, plug it in, times 0.05%, and then you'll get $500 interest. So then you take $10,500 times 0.05%. And you'll have to get yourself a yellow pad, and you'll have to do that 40 times. You make 40 calculations, and when you get through, you'll have $70,000 and some change, like a $73,000. Now, that is impressive, and I don't deny it. You have $10,000. You invest it in stocks in 1960. Then you just go to sleep until 2000, and you cash them in, and you get $73,000 back. Now, that is real investing. That's Warren Buffett stuff. That's the kind of stuff that makes billionaires. Now, I did that, and I said, well, that's very impressive. Now, at the very same time that this is going on, the inflation rate's 4.7%, and the capital gain tax is 28%. So every year, you got to file a tax return, and you got to pay taxes on this money that you're making every year. See? And if you don't, then you got to pay the tax on it at the end. Didn't make any difference, I guess. But in the final analysis, it cost you 4.7% in purchasing power to inflation and 28% directly to capital gains. And there may have been some other taxes in there that I don't know anything about. So now, if you were to calculate that 4.7%, and then you take 28% of the $73,000, and then you take a look at the purchasing price index. This is the CPI, Consumer Price Index. Because when you started in 1960, you could buy a 1960 Chevrolet automobile for $2,500, and now it costs you $18,000. See, the amount of money that it now takes to buy a comparable good or service over that 40-year period has gone up. Now you subtract this second figure from the former figure, and the net loss is $3,800. Now here's what it looks like. You invested $10,000 and you made $73,000, so you have a $63,000 profit, for which you have to pay the capital gain tax on the $63,000 profit. But at the same time, the prices went up, and now you can only buy $6,200 worth of goods. See, it now takes $10,000 to get $6,200 worth of goods. Now, that's a loss in purchasing power. In nominal terms, you're making money and paying taxes on it. And in real terms, you're losing 38%. Now, there's not very many people that can do that calculation. Now, there isn't a Jew in America that can't, and there isn't a Christian in America that can't. So that's been my experience. Now, Martin Luther was really bummed out at the Jews, and he said so in many of his papers. He's called anti-Semitic. Well, by Jews, he's called anti-Semitic. The truth of the matter is he wasn't anti-Semitic. He was opposed to the usury and the practices that were being implemented in his day and age by Jewish lenders. And I got to sit here and say, excuse me, boys and girls, but it takes two to tango. And that sounds like to me, like the girl saying, hey, listen, you got me knocked up. And then I'm sitting here saying, well, sweetheart, you had to lay still. I mean, come on. You know, it takes two, doesn't it? So when somebody offers you a loan, don't you have to go down and sign it? The government comes along and offers you all of these neat benefits, and you have to come down and sign these these forms and contracts and one thing and another to get entangled in these kinds of programs. So rather than point my finger at people and say, well, it's their fault because they did this, that, or something else, you know, I like to point to myself and say, you know, I went down there and signed that contract, and I went down there and did that to myself. Shame on me for having done that. Shame on you for having done it to me, but shame on me for letting you do it. Well, now that you know the answer to that, if we look in the scripture, in Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, and Deuteronomy 25, verses, I think it's 13 through 16, we were told not to deal in commercial paper. Don't use unjust weights and balances. Use just weights and balances. Use gold and silver coin. God gave us the hills to dig the gold and silver out of. He did not give us the printing press to print $100 bills. Now we've been told. So I thought that I would point this out to you, that if you're going to invest today in bonds, and I was just reading the International Forecaster, and these bonds today, these United States bonds, are paying us approximately 2 to 3% return. But boys and girls, inflation is running 9%. So if you get paid 3, but prices go up by 9, when you have $1,000 and you invest it in these bonds, and at the end of the year, the bond pays you 3%, you've got $30. But it costs you $90 to buy the goods and services. That's a net loss of $60. You lost $60 on the transaction. Now, I'm not here to tell you to invest in bonds or not to. I just wanted to point out that if you're investing in bonds, you're losing money. Now, silver and gold, by comparison over the last 11 years, have gone up by about 15% a year. Now, what that means is this. It's not a spectacular investment, and I'm not claiming that it is. I just wanted to point out that that same $1,000 invested in 1 ounce of gold goes up about 15% a year. And inflation's been running around 10% a year, so that means that you're actually making about 5% on your gold and silver. Nothing to brag about, but it's something better than nothing. And paper pays nothing. Now, isn't that just special?